Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
Back here on the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast, I'm Chip Patterson. That's Barton Simmons. We haven't been canceled yet, Barton. We're still rolling. The bosses heard that your prediction that Mississippi State was going to go 9-3, and they don't think that we're crazy.
They don't. I thought you were going to say that we're now on probation, and if we don't start shaping up, that we're going to get fired after SEC East. But that's good. I'm glad we got some Mississippi State homers in the home office.
Yes, absolutely. When we're looking at the SEC East, before we get into these win totals, and by the way, we're going to be using the South Point Sportsbook numbers, but we're also just trying to hear as Media Days week is continuing to unfurl, just sort of get a handle of where each of these teams are. We will be continuing this later in the month. With a look at the ACC. We will follow that up with the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, all using the over-under win totals just to get a gauge of where these teams are at because, we got to start making picks now just so we can be in full midseason form to give you all those against the spread winners come early September. The difference between the SEC East and the SEC West, the distance between these two divisions, from your experience as the national director of scouting for 24/7 Sports, do you think that what we have seen in terms of on-field results in the recent years between the SEC West and the SEC East, is that reflected in the recruiting? Because when we're dealing with some of the national signing day storylines, I feel like you're still seeing Georgia hats on the table getting picked up. You're still seeing Florida up there at the top. You've still got Tennessee who, in addition to, being able to build out some of the depth over the last couple years, has some good players that are still on that roster. And we'll get to the Vols in a little bit. But, we look at the SEC West as being strongly superior. Is that going to continue forever based on what you've seen from the recruiting trail?
I think it's going to continue to trend that way until someone on the SEC East turns into a consistent national power. And we're just not there yet. I mean, look, in 2017, four of the top six teams in the SEC were West, and Georgia was sort of the team that cycled up and really had a strong class, the top five class. But this year in 2018, Georgia's not recruiting as well. Alabama isn't either, though I have more confidence in Alabama to see that ranking rise than the flip side of that. The short answer is the talent is still coming to the SEC across the board. Florida is still talented. Tennessee is still talented. Georgia is still talented. I mean, Georgia may be one of the most talented teams in the SEC. We'll get to them, but I don't understand why the SEC East can't break through. You throw these seven teams in a hat and just, pull names out, I think you could have a good shot as picking the order of finish as we will. It's such an up-in-the-air conference. So this is going to be a tricky win total episode here because, man, I feel like any team in the conference can beat any other team.
All right, we will start right with those Georgia Bulldogs. The over-under win total set at 9. You said you just said Kirby Smart might have one of the most talented rosters in the SEC. Mark Richt wasn't quite able to satisfy the fan base, but he was pretty consistent on that recruiting trail. And it's even though there has been a change in head coach, it seems like all the pipelines are still open. Like, number one running back from North Carolina, what's-his-face, just committed to Georgia.
Yeah, Zamir White.
Yeah, it just felt like the Todd Gurley, Keith Marshall experience all over again. I mean, it's just like all the same pipelines are still rolling. The same talent, same caliber of talent is still coming in. Where is your confidence in Kirby Smart as a head coach after 1 year?
Well, It's it's undecided.
Right, no, and that's fair. That's the thing. No, it's not a cop-out because all throughout history, we've seen stories of coaches who go on to be Hall of Fame coaches having rocky starts. You know, like, and that's where, you know, just here in my backyard, like Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski always talks about, if we had the current environment that we have now in terms of demanding these instant results, that he might not have made it. He might have gotten fired at Duke before he even got a chance to get things rolling. So the standard is so much higher than it used to be, probably because our hot seat wired minds just love to talk about it so much. But I think that I still believe that Kirby Smart is in a position to be a very successful SEC coach and probably a very successful college football coach for a long time, but I don't know if it's going to be possible to meet those Georgia expectations.
Well, Kirby's got a big break Nick Chubb and Sony Michel came back, because when I talk about Georgia, I think it's less about, for me, can I trust Kirby Smart? It's more about, can I trust Jacob Eason?
Ooh.
And, you know, Jacob Eason is a lot easier to trust with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel in the backfield. And, you know, so that to me is what is this season about? Jacob Eason showed a lot of promise last year. I thought he was a good, true freshman quarterback. I thought he lived up to his billing as a five-star guy that's got worlds of potential, but he's got to take the next step. This is a really talented defense. You know, maybe they don't have a receiving core for Jacob Eason that's necessarily proven yet, but they should. I mean, they've got talented guys that were highly recruited. So if Jacob Eason with a healthy Nick Chubb and a Sony Michel returning, if he can be a guy that is in a typical SEC year, and Chip, I think this is an atypical SEC year. I think the quarterback play is really good, especially relative to last year. But in a typical SEC year, is he a top four quarterback? I think that's going to be the difference between what, you know, is Georgia a 10 or 11 win team, or are they a 7 or 8 win team? I lean more towards yes. I lean more towards the over at what, 9 wins?
Nine
I think
wins.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, I lean push to over, but I really want to see Jacob Eason take a big step forward.
Do you think that I'm sure that we're all of us are for one of the many, whether it's CBS Sports, whether it's 24/7 Sports, whether it's a video, whether it's a podcast, I'm sure that we're going to be filling out all sorts of expert picks and order of finish. Like what? I am wrestling right now because I like to make up my mind early so that I don't waffle between all the different places that I have to do it. Like, I want to have in my head exactly what my answers are going to be so it remains consistent. And right now, like as we are recording this, I am wrestling with, are you going to jump in and are you going to pick this? Are you going to pick this Georgia win? Like I'm shying away from it because in the last couple years, I just feel like there's two SEC games, and this has been Mark Richt, this has been Kirby Smart, but I feel like there's two SEC games where the Bulldogs just go out there and just lay an egg. And I don't know if it's gonna be, if there's been enough time to get that out of your system. I mean, all right, you played. Am I crazy that sometimes those kinds of things can creep up and get in a team's system?
Well, I think so. I mean,
I guess it's consistency. It's like ultimately you're like, I haven't seen proven consistency to think that they're going to go out there across 3 months and not lose more than two or three games.
Chip, you bring me to this point and tell me what you think about this. But does this Georgia team feel a little bit like Tennessee last year? I picked Tennessee to win the SEC East last year. It was the perfect storm. All those four stars and five stars were coming of age. They had a new, really good defensive coordinator. The SEC East was still down. They returned a bunch of starters. And so they were the sexy pick. Everybody was jumping on board. I did. And they were coming off a 9-win season the year before. Georgia now, coming off an 8-win season, returns you know, what, 17 starters. You know, they got their quarterback back. They got their Heisman Trophy candidate running back back. Everyone's picking them. They're the most talented team. But yet at the end of the day, like, who on this roster inspires confidence other than the running backs?
Like, though, yeah, they could have one of the best offensive backfields in the conference, but we got to see it.
Yeah. I mean, they could have one of the best offensive backfields in the country. I mean, those guys are. If Nick Chubb returns to form, there's not many better. I think Saquon Barkley and Darius Geis are the only two that I would put above him, frankly.
Wow.
But so again, I'm leaning over, just because I sort of fell for this last year with Tennessee, but I just think that there's so much talent there. I think they'll be good enough defensively, and they'll be improved. That I lean them to figure it out. But I'm with you. I'm not ready to pick them to win the SEC East yet. That may be a podcast for another day. We'll figure if I can get on board with that. But at least on the Vegas side of things, I would lean over rather than the under.
Well, the next highest total that we have, and by the way, we'd already been a couple of teams deep into the SEC West before we got down to the number 8. But Florida, 8 wins. And I look at Florida's season for the over-under win total, and I am thinking this team that has had suspensions and injuries at the quarterback position, that's really had a lot of injury troubles all over the field, they've got a wild October with LSU, Texas A&M, and Georgia. I think in general, Florida's schedule is kind of manageable. But this Gators team, you know, okay, so big headlines. We got Malik Zaire coming in at quarterback. There is a chance for either him or Felipe Franks to be able to generate quarterback play that we have not seen at the University of Florida since a young man named Timmy Tebbs was out there breaking all the records back in 2008 and 2009. Look at the defense, and even though they lost a lot, particularly in the defensive backfield, I think they've still been recruiting well enough. This, to me, man, it comes down to the health in October, and it comes down to the offensive line and the quarterback.
So let's circle back to your quarterback statement. Are you saying that you believe in this quarterback room? Like, I couldn't tell if that statement was like a just sort of a hypothetical, or was it like, okay, I, Chip Patterson, think they finally have it figured out at quarterback?
I don't think they have. I want to, Barton. Like, because, all right, so this was my statement looking at Will Grier. Okay, West Virginia fans, super hyped. Will Grier is going to be eligible. He's going to play right at the beginning of the season. He was very, very good until his PED suspension. But I claim that some of Will Grier's success, but again, very talented player. I do not want to belittle him, but I think that the coaching staff, both from Jim McElwain to Doug Nussmeier to sort of everybody else who takes part in that, they have shown in their limited time at Florida ways to make a lot out of what appears on paper to be very little. And so I feel like knowing that there is any slight increase, and Malik Zaire, man, I don't know what happened when he came back, but before he went down with that ankle injury, I was a believer, you know? And Felipe Franks, I'm not a believer, but you could talk me into it. I mean, you know him better than I do. Are you not a believer in the quarterback room still?
Let me tell you all the reasons I don't believe in Malik Zaire, okay? First of all, 2 career starts. Is that right? I think he got 2 starts under the belt.
Yeah.
He didn't ever win the job. I guess he won the job briefly at Notre Dame, but he couldn't ever hold on to the job. He got essentially, I mean, he left town because he wasn't going to be the starter this year. He's got 800 career passing yards. He's got, what, a couple hundred career rushing yards? Like, I've never seen so much hype over a guy who's done so little. And he came into Florida and you know, I don't think he ever was the fearless leader at Notre Dame that he was made out to be. I don't think he was ever the the guy that the coaching staff had utmost confidence in. He comes to Florida and, you know, at five different points over the course of a couple months, you know, it's either broken or confirmed that he's coming to Florida. And then, you know, all of a sudden after Malik Zaire has done all these stories, like he releases a commitment video, like he's 17 years old, announcing his commitment to Florida. Like he's 22 years old.
You're an adult. Yeah. Bart's, I mean, yeah, Bart's pulling the
adult male. Like you don't need to have a, like a flashy video of you in a Florida shirt saying go Gators or whatever. Like just go do your, handle your business. Like I just don't believe in the guy as some sort of difference maker. I don't think he makes a difference in the win total. I think whatever they're going to win without Malik Zaire is what they're going to win with Malik Zaire. Now, I don't think he makes them worse.
Right.
I think he helps their quarterback room. I think he gives them depth. But, and I don't, I also don't necessarily believe Felipe Franks is ready right now. I think he could be the starter and he could improve and he could get there. But, you know, I don't, so, you know, the long and short of it is, I think it's the same Florida with the same problems. And that Florida has figured out a way to win the SEC East before. And, you know, it's hard to pick against them doing it again, but it's also hard to envision them, you know, with a 10 or 11 win season. I still think this is an 8 or 9 win team, and I think they have a shot at winning the SEC East yet again with 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Who do you think wins Florida, Michigan?
Michigan.
Ooh.
I know Michigan loses everything.
Yeah.
And they got all these guys, you know, but this is going to be a more talented defense than it was last year. They've got a quarterback with more experience than Florida has. I think Michigan is going to be pretty impressive in that game. And I think that's going to be a L to start the year for Florida. I think they'll bounce back and have a nice stretch there. You know, they probably win the next four, at least the next three, you know, or three of the next four. But I think that, you know, once you get to LSU and once you get to Florida State at the end of the year, and there's probably another loss somewhere against either South Carolina or Georgia or Tennessee or somebody, maybe at Kroger, Kentucky. There's another loss in there somewhere. And so I think that this is just not necessarily like a national title or a BCS bowl team.
Oh, no. But man, I started to catch some smells in the air, like people are trying to jump on Florida, like it's going to be a sleeper team to watch. And now I mean, obviously you can see how much of a flip-flopper I am. I haven't made my decision yet, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know. Are you going to pick the Gators in the East?
I might. Like, that's the thing. I just sort of dogged them. But I still might pick them in the East. And it's just because that's just who Florida is. They're just it's like they're just surviving right now until they get their quarterback. And I still don't think they've gotten their quarterback. I also worry that they're not recruiting right now at the elite level that we're used to seeing in Florida. That they're recruiting sort of top 15, top 8, kind of in that range.
Sure.
Which is good, but it's not necessarily the top 5 classes that we're competing for before. So, you know, and I because of that, I think at some point we're going to see that catch up to them. I don't know if this is the year, but because they still have, I think Jabari Zuniga is a badass. I think CC Jefferson is really good.
Oh, Zuniga's the pass rusher. He's sick.
Yeah.
All right.
They still got some dudes. You know, they still have those dudes on defense. And now they got some really good receivers too. But I just, again, it's just, it's hard for me to get fully on board with them. We'll see what happens.
Tennessee's over under set at 7.5. The popular belief is that the window of opportunity, you just talked about picking Tennessee last year because everything shaped up so well for them. There is a belief that the window of opportunity was last year and the year before, and that window has been opened and it has shut. I have a theory that some of the injury issues that really hurt Tennessee last season in its pursuit of trying to win the SEC East, it forced some highly rated but young players onto the field early. And while I'm not, while I don't know if this is definitely going to change their entire season or their ability to win the SEC East. I do think that as we're picking them over under at 7.5, one of the main things that I'm hanging my hat on is the idea that since Tennessee and Butch Jones' staff have been recruiting pretty well, and since some backups had to play a lot of time last year, that there might be a little bit of a bump or a little bit of a boost, particularly when trying to make a pick against the public opinion, which, you know, of course, is going to factor into the odds makers.
Chip, we're on the same page here, man. I've talked myself into Tennessee. The more I look at Tennessee, the more I start to feel like this might be the team last year was supposed to be, in some ways. Like, so I think Butch Jones last year, you mentioned all the injuries, that they were brutal. I mean, they were absolutely brutal. But I also think that Butch Jones was coaching more of a front-running team. It was a roster of guys. The expectations were so high, a bunch of 4- and 5-star guys. Like, they were supposed to be so good. And I don't think Butch Jones had ever coached a team with that kind of persona.
Ooh, and interesting.
This team is different, right? Like, this is the team that, okay, now everyone's doubting these guys.
Yeah, the chip on the shoulder approach.
It's back. Yeah. Now they have to prove it to people. And on top of that, this isn't an untalented group that has to prove it. Like, if you look at just like the projected starting lineup, 9 of their 11 starters were 4- and 5-star recruits. That's not to say that means they're 4- and 5-star college players. I mean, you never know, obviously. But again, the point is, these are guys that are supposed to be good. These are guys where it's like, look, and they've been served some humble pie. And so now it's like, look, you guys got a choice. You can either man up and prove it, or you can, you know, you can be a disappointment. And so I think that there's a lot of that in this Tennessee team. There's a lot of that in this Tennessee staff. Bob Shoop was considered one of the, you know, best defensive coordinators in the game. Last year, their defense was bad. You know, he's going to want to prove it. He's a blue collar guy. I think their defense is going to, after a year in, is going to adopt more of his blue collar mentality. You know, Larry Scott, their OC, again, like, kind of a guy people were rolling their eyes at getting the OC job. Well, he's got something to prove. Butch Jones obviously does. I just think, and their offensive line suddenly is really good. You know, all that to say, I just think this team could find something this year.
Grand Valley State to Cincinnati. No, I like it. I hadn't thought about that. That Butch Jones might be better suited playing some of the underdog role.
I think he's, you know, this team is going to be more equipped to be the, hey, everyone's overlooking us, let's go out and prove them wrong, than, oh, you guys are, let's go play for a national title this year. You know, that kind of thing. Like, this is our year. It's finally here. Like, the pressure for the players is not on them anymore. It's still on Butch. But for the players, it's the pressure's off. Hey, let's go and prove the haters wrong.
It is uncommon to have a feeling as a college football so-called expert, pundit, talking head, writer, whatever the heck we are. It is uncommon to be slightly optimistic about Kentucky football in early July. Man, our over-under is set at 7, and I don't think I would dare pick the under. What's wrong with me? Like, am I taking crazy pills here? Like, is this... like the belief, from what I can tell, lies not only in the breakthrough last season, but in some of the competitiveness that they have shown building up to this moment. You know, if you got the lose big, lose small, win big. And I really feel like there is a sense that Stoops has crossed this program over. I mean, I don't think Kentucky football is going to get to the win big, but they are making the move from lose small to win small, and at an over under at 7. I don't like my pick is going to be push, and I think that, like, that Mississippi State game is certainly one that I feel like could break this either way, and I think that game's just going to be a video game and so much fun. Like, why are you going against the grain, or are you also on the a little bit excited about Kentucky football train?
Yeah, well, I mean, A, you're not crazy. I mean, what, they return 17 starters off a team that was playing pretty good football late in the year. They got their running back back, their quarterback back. They got almost their entire defense back. But here's my thing with Kentucky. So someone in the SEC East is going to be better, but win fewer games. It's just someone's going to take a step back despite probably being better, because I think every team in the SEC East, with the possible exception of Florida, thinks they're going to be improved.
Ooh.
They think they're going to be better this year than last year.
Yeah. And there's only so many wins to go around. Like, everyone can get better, but that doesn't mean that everyone's win total goes up.
Exactly. There's only so many wins to go around. And here's, you know, with Kentucky, I still don't know that Steven Johnson at quarterback is – I mean, I think he proved he's capable last year. But in a conference that is taking what I think is a big step forward at quarterback, I'm not sure I put Steven Johnson in that sort of upper tier in the league. The running back is a stud, Benny Snell. But man, you know, if they keep on loading him up like they did late in the year, you know, I wonder if he's going to be, you know, if he gets injured, for instance. I mean, someone's going to have an injury somewhere along the way. And so if Benny Snell gets injured, who's behind him? You know, they got a couple guys that carried the rock last year, but, you know, I don't know that anybody that can do quite what Benny Snell can do. Jeff Badette's gone, their leading receiver transferred. I still like their offensive line. Obviously, their defense is good, but I come back to I got to pick someone to you know, be a little bit disappointing. And I think Kentucky could be that team. Now, here's my X factor for Kentucky. Lynn Bowden.
Who?
I don't know if you've heard that name floating around yet, Chip.
No, I haven't.
This is a true freshman who's coming in, he's this kind of do everything athlete who I really think, I mean, Kentucky sort of stole him out of Ohio. One of these guys that probably is he's the talent level where he typically ends up in an Alabama or an Ohio State or a USC. And somehow Kentucky was able to pull him. And I think this could be like the most impactful true freshman in America.
Wow.
So if Lynn Bowden comes in and plays some running back and plays some wildcat quarterback and plays some receiver and becomes that sort of second threat that is really can scare SEC defenses, then suddenly like I'm rethinking things, I'm recalibrating a little bit, and I could see Kentucky being that, you know, being a team that can knock some people off. So, you know, my tentative pick is pushed to under with the caveat that I think it's a better team, but I think the rest of the SEC improves a little bit more than Kentucky improves. But look, I do really like what Mark Stoops has done, and it's hard not to like this team. I just got to pick someone to go under, right?
Yeah, I appreciate the integrity that you bring to this exercise by like not hitting all overs or all unders. Lynn Bowden, by the way, on one side misspelled a jazz legend from the 1930s, spelled correctly Lynn. Yes, I see now a 4-star athlete coming out of Ohio, Lynn Bowden. Gems, dude. Just jewels getting dropped. All right, Missouri's over under win total set at 6. I would love to be proven wrong, but I'm just not sold on Missouri as a bowl team for this fall.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you there. I think to me they're as good as Terry Beckner. I think Terry Beckner, who's torn his ACL the past 2 years, is back. He's a defensive interior guy. I think if he's a full speed Terry Beckner, then that really helps their whole defense. I mean, Marcel Frazier's is going to be a really good edge rusher. But again, I think if Terry Beckner can be just like a guy that demands attention in the middle, then that defense will be improved. And that's the key. They have to be a better defense, because when you look at their offensive personnel, they're returning 10 starters. I think everyone on their offensive line comes back. They've got the only team in the conference that returns a 1,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard receiver, and like a 3,000-yard passer or whatever Drew Locke threw for. So they've got some guys to score some points.
Oh yeah.
And Barry Odom is a defensive coach. It's a weird thing that they were as bad as they were last year on defense. So I think even with Missouri, you know, they're an afterthought right now, but I don't know. I mean, people better take them seriously when they show up. And because I do think this team quietly has some really good players.
The thing, the X factor for me with Missouri is going to be how they convert, because no one in the league, they put up 500 yards per game last year. You know, they ran 80 plays per game.
Yeah.
Football Study Hall, Bill Connolly and crew, they run a stat of points per trip inside the 40. And Missouri was just very middling, number 52 nationally. Like they are getting in position, but then they got to get points, and they can't be field goals. They got to be touchdowns, and that's where having all those players back certainly has got to give you some kind of boost. And I would love to see, I would love to see it work out, because that Missouri's time in the SEC is weird, right? Like they came in, they were just like a force for 2 years. Then you just like jump off a cliff, and I'm curious to see, you know, how they land. I'd like to see them find some firm footing over there in the SEC East.
Well, they operate over here in this island. It's sort of they're you know, they're not Texas. They're not really SEC country. They're almost Midwest, and so they're sort of almost the forgotten team, and no one really knows what to expect out of them because they recruit different players than the rest of the SEC. They're not really battling for the same guys. And, you know, my question for the Bill Connolly stat is, all right, that sounds well and good, but what were they the year before in any of those offensive stats? Because Drew Locke, you know, I keep talking about the SEC quarterback play going to be continue to be better this year. Drew Locke's trajectory, I mean, he was pretty horrible as a true freshman.
But he wasn't supposed to play. Matty Mock was supposed to have it.
Exactly. Yeah. But he was thrown into the fire, and he survived, and he got a little bit better as the year went on, and he flashed talent. I mean, the arm was never a doubt. This is a four-star guy who was a U.S. Army All-American. He could have played at Missouri as a basketball player if he wanted to. He's got athleticism. And now, last year, he broke out. And not this, you know, the offense wasn't perfect, but they put up big numbers, and Drew Locke really took a huge step forward. If he can take a fraction of the step forward this year that he did last year, then all of a sudden you got one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, is an X factor. You know, not is Drew Locke a good quarterback, I think he is, but is he a great quarterback? And if he's a great quarterback and he has a really good offensive line, which is what I think Missouri's offensive line is, then suddenly, like, this is a team that's is all of a sudden pretty scary. And so then it boils back down to, can their defense stop someone? And I think that boils down to Terry Beckner. It's a big domino train, but I am
intrigued
by Missouri.
Yeah. No, I'm you know, constantly working my own thoughts, and I like that take. It's making me more confident in Missouri. You know, we got to move teams up, got to move teams down. That makes me more confident in Missouri and less confident in our next team, Vanderbilt, which has an over-under set at 6, where I am hanging a lot on Ralph Webb, who could go down as one of the most productive running backs in SEC history. He won't touch Herschel Walker's record, but he could, if he matches last year's production, he could end up like number 2 or number 3 on the SEC's all-time list. And he may have gotten it 4 yards at a time, but doggone it, he's still running. Derek Mason, great. The Georgia win obviously is what I go back to last season and sort of circle that as such a huge moment. And you know, when you're finally talking about becoming bowl eligible, certainly played a big role in that math. But, you know, Derek Mason as a defensive coach, you respect him. Ralph Webb, an understandably sturdy workhorse at running back. But if we've got to move teams up, I don't have many other reasons to be confident in Vanderbilt beyond that.
I agree with you. I'll put Vanderbilt in the improved on the field, but not in the win column category. You know, I think, first of all, James Franklin had it figured out at Vanderbilt that you're already playing in the SEC and you're playing against a stacked deck, and you take wins anywhere you can get them. So schedule the MAC, schedule the Sun Belt, get some W's out of conference. Well, Derek Mason, and you know, respect him for it, but he's had a little bit different approach, or he's allowed the AD anyways to schedule some better teams. I mean, Kansas State is a non-conference team. I don't know why you want to play them if you're Vanderbilt. That's a tough game. You know, that's going to be a tough win. They also got at Middle Tennessee State, and they got Western Kentucky at home, which are very winnable games. I mean, they could win all three of those games, but they could also lose all three of those games. They're also all losable games. So I think that that's tough, that they don't have just a sweep in the non-conference. And you know, I think the other Vanderbilt issue is that they've just been so unpredictable to me. And so I could see them being like improved, and all of a sudden the Stanford stuff starts to crystallize, and they are Stanford of the East. But I don't know that I expect that, and they're still playing the SEC East. And while they were so improved last year, you know, they lost a lot on defense. They did play a lot of young guys. So I don't know. I'm sort of, as I talk through this, like, they're just such a hard team to peg, because I do think they've got some reason for optimism offensively, and Kyle Shurmur is developing steadily. I just think, again, in the whole category of like someone has to lose some games, I don't have more confidence in Vanderbilt than I do some of these other teams in the SEC East, including the team we're about to talk about. My other one caveat there is I'm in Nashville. You know, I was talking to a Vanderbilt coach here recently, and I just sort of was like, hey, how are you guys going to be this year? Or sort of threw it out casually in conversation. And there was like a real sly confidence in his answer. I think there's a lot of confidence on West End right now. This is the first time since Derek Mason's been there that the whole staff has stayed. There's continuity. Finally.
Ooh, so vibes are just good. Good vibes.
And they've got everyone in the system. You know, everyone's now, they're not just the, you know, the older guys are coaching the younger guys. They all understand it. So they're confident. They're really confident at Vanderbilt. And that certainly counts for something. I just got to look at all these other teams. I got to find some wins for them. And I'm not sure I see whatever the, what's the number for Vanderbilt? Six, five and a half?
Six.
I just don't know if I see above six. I can see him getting to six, but I'm not sure if I see over six.
Now we got to talk about Beamer, Benz, or Bentley. This is our dude. This is my dude. I have the teams that are listed at the bottom of the South Point win totals in both the West and the East have quarterbacks that I love. I am irrational about Jake Bentley. I think so. But the problem is you've introduced this idea that South Carolina could be better, but then see a drop in for South Carolina. They're over under set at five. That would indicate a step back from last season when Will Muschamp was able to get this team to a bowl game. What's your general, like how do you describe Will Muschamp to someone who'd be like, what kind of coach is Will Muschamp? Like, do you think that, this is for him a face that we have, you know, become so accustomed to in the SEC somewhere? Like, is he going to be at South Carolina for a couple years? Like, is he going to be there for a while? And how much confidence do you have in this Gamecocks team being able to make it back to the postseason?
Dude, there's so much to unpack with South Carolina. I'm with you on Bentley. I'm going to answer your Will Muschamp question first. So, Will Muschamp to me is one of the most misrepresented, I think is maybe the word I'm looking for, or misunderstood maybe coaches in college football. Like, there's this, I think that, you know, a lot of people nationally were underwhelmed by the hire of Will Muschamp at South Carolina because he couldn't win at Florida. How's he going to win at South Carolina? You know, he's this red-faced yeller that's just sort of looks like a meathead on the sidelines. I actually think Will Muschamp's a really good coach. And his problem at Florida was just he could never get the offense figured out. And he hired Charlie Weiss, which was probably
a huge
mistake.
Yeah, that's some bad idea genes right there.
Yeah, if you want to blame him, pin him on being a bad OC hire. But he's found an OC that he is comfortable with now, and somebody that I think has proven in Kurt Roper that can be a really good OC and has shown some flashes. And so I think their offense is going to be okay. And I think their defense is going to be really good because Will Muschamp is really good at defense. And when you dig into what's actually on their roster, I agree Jake Bentley has a chance to be a superstar. Rico Dowdle, who started playing midway through the season last year as a true freshman, looked outstanding in flashes. Brian Edwards, true freshman last year, big receiver on the outside, looked outstanding. Going to take a step forward. Debo Samuel is the go-to guy, so he's even better. Hayden Hurst, high NFL draft pick, is very possible for their tight ends. Their offensive line's improved. I just look at this roster. I'm thinking, how in the world did Vegas come up with 5 wins?
Right.
What am I missing is what I'm saying. I think that South Carolina is more likely to win the SEC East than they are to miss a bowl.
Whoa. Nice.
Is that insane? I mean, you're yelling. Is that insane? Am I wrong?
Sky Moore is another tipping point for me. I think Sky 100%. Moore is tremendous. Like, and so experienced, so good, and can, like, I don't want to use too many cliches, but like, if he and Muschamp and the defensive staff are all on the same page, you're just not going to tell me that when you get into these games and the difference between the SEC East top to bottom, like, I'm expecting a lot of very tight games. And I am going to count on Sky Moore as a reason to believe in the Gamecocks for being able to squeeze out some of these tight games.
If for people that haven't watched a lot of South Carolina and they didn't see Sky Moore last year because he missed the whole year with injury, Sky Moore is one of the most fun defensive players to watch in the SEC.
He's everywhere. He is everywhere.
He is such a beast. And they've got pretty much everybody back in the secondary, except they may be starting a true freshman at safety. And maybe they're overhyping him, but Will Muschamp saying this kid Jalen Dickerson is one of the best safeties he's ever seen or something, and so I just think that this team is going to be well coached. I think that they've got a really good quarterback, and I think that they have the pieces in place to be really good. I think when I picked them something like 7 wins as sort of a not to go overboard sort of pick, and it's like I went 9 wins for Mississippi State on their 5 win total last week or the SEC West podcast. But I'm picking more like 7 or 8 for South Carolina, but I could see them, I could see them competing for an SEC East title. It wouldn't shock me if they were that good this year.
They're going to beat NC State.
So here's
NC State's going to have a good team though, but I don't know. That seems like something that both of those teams would do.
All right, this is kind of like, you bring up a great point. Like, all right, you're in Raleigh. You've got an idea about what NC State looks like. I actually picked them to lose to NC State, lose at Missouri, and then, like, run the table until Georgia and Florida and, like, go, 7-6 and lose to Clemson. So, but that's just what that's the craziness of the SEC East. I just think there's so many weird things that could happen to where this thing is just a mess. And you don't know, if they start out 0-2, I guarantee you everyone is, and they could, everyone would be giving up on South Carolina, but they could still bounce back and beat everyone else on their schedule until like Clemson. And so it's just going to be a wild SEC East season. And I mean, who the hell knows what's going to happen, but I just got a pretty good feeling about the Gamecocks.
Barton Simmons, put it down. South Carolina more likely to win the SEC East then miss the postseason. I freaking love it. He is Barton Simmons. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. We will be back with more win totals. We'll be talking some media days, takeaways, and headlines. We'll have some quotes from the coaches and so much more. Some 24/7 sports writers joining the show later in the month. We are just getting rolling, and we thank you for subscribing, for listening. Be sure to tell all your friends. Barton, thank you so much.
You're the man. Thanks.